Well, once again, brothers and sisters, we have the opportunity to come together in fellowship with one another and with our Heavenly Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A great privilege and a great honor that the Father has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light and made known unto us His great plan of salvation. It has been said that as a community that we tend to be perhaps more academic than loving. And it's kind of interesting to think about that. I know it applies to me. It's not something that comes easy, that being from a sort of Anglo-Saxon conservative background, it's not natural. But and it's interesting too, I think, when we say that if we look at our statement of faith, the word love isn't found in it. And of course, we're not here to have an opinion one way or the other than I think that it's something, I know for myself that it's something that I need to consider. So I want to talk this morning for a little bit about what I call Bible love, the kind of love that comes from our Heavenly Father and is manifested in His Son. And so we have this opportunity to meditate on Bible love. Our love for one another. Because, of course, He first loved us. He loved us so much that He died for us. So that's the kind of love we want to meditate on this morning. In our reading in the 19th chapter of Matthew, it's interesting, the rich young man, that's the heading in my Bible. And just to sort of pick up on that just for a bit here, in verse 16, chapter 19 of Matthew, now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" I'm reading from the NIV, by the way. "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. And Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." And, of course, the reply from the young man is, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." And you kind of wonder if maybe the answer from the rich young man was, you know, a little glib. You know, he answered pretty quickly, "Yes, I've been there, I've done that." And, of course, we know that it's easier said than done. And so Jesus, you know, puts the test to him and says, "All right then, if you really love, then you'll make this sacrifice and sell all that you have and give to the poor." And of course, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians, and I think that I'd like to sort of preface what we want to say this morning with this verse, because we don't want to infer that, you know, we don't have love. In Thessalonians and in the first chapter, in verse 3, he says to the brothers and sisters, we continually remember before God, our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor promoted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the third chapter, in verse 12, he says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And so that's the spirit of our words this morning, that our love might increase and might overflow to others. And so we want to look at some familiar scriptures, scriptures I'm sure some of them you, some of us learned in Sunday school. So let's start at John's Gospel and chapter 3. And you know those words before we get there, but I think it's important to read them. And it's a good place to begin. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Still in John's Gospel in chapter 13 and verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And I kind of like the way that the NIV puts that. In other versions, it's, or he loved them to the last. But if you think of what follows, and he washes their feet, he shows them the full extent of his love. And then, of course, he goes out and he is crucified. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And so he willingly chooses to love us, and he shows us the full extent of his love. In the 34th chapter of, or sorry, the 34th verse of the same chapter, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And this verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. This is the distinguishing feature. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And of course, in chapter 15, and at verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No greater love. How great is that love? The words of Paul come to mind in Romans, and at the 5th chapter, Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. You see, says Paul, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. So again, we say it's not natural. It's not a natural thing for us or for most of us. We have to work at it. This love or lack of love is the basis of how we treat one another, how we treat our neighbors, how we treat those that we work with, how we treat our family. Someone came and asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment. We want to look at that now in Matthew chapter 22. It's so instructive, it's so revealing about, if we think of, you know, what's the purpose of God's plan? It's to produce people who emulate his love. And so in Matthew 22 and at verse 37, if we pick up at verse 34, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The whole purpose of God is to bring into being people who emulate his love. Similar words, and I'm sure Paul picks up on this in his words in Romans in chapter 13 and beginning at verse 9. Let's begin at verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding. Interesting the way he puts it here. Let no debt remain outstanding except that the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is what defines us as brothers and sisters in Christ. More than doctrine, more than statements of faith, more than protocol or tradition, All of those, of course, are important. But it's love that has the power to affect change in ourselves and others. John, in his letters, talks about the necessity for love. In his first letter, and at chapter 3, at verse 11, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And we kind of think back to the rich young man. It was easy to say that we'd done those things, but harder to prove it by actions. And in the fourth chapter, and at verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And so love truly is a first principle. And interesting, we don't often talk about it that way. But it is a first principle. Paul has some beautiful words in his letter to Colossae in chapter 3. He talks about putting on love. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So it's more than just a warm and fuzzy feeling. These emblems before us speak to us of how Jesus demonstrated that love. Think about it. Where would we be this morning if Jesus in the garden had prayed, "Not your will, Father, but mine be done"? It wasn't inevitable. He had a choice. And thank God, he chose to love us as no other has. And again, we say this kind of love doesn't come easy. But with the Father's help, we can find the strength to truly love one another. We can pray with Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose great love we celebrate this morning."